And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. And as you know, True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus 444-0044, toll free 877-TAP-COIN, or through the website at coinsplus.com. Coins Plus has been around for a couple decades plus. I've been doing this for quite a while, probably getting to learn what I'm doing a little bit. We've done a substantial amount of volume over the years. Phenomenal. It's a small, high volume, low margin business. Coins Plus is full service. We buy and sell pretty much everything that is within our range. Anything precious metals oriented, diamonds, jewelry, rare coins, collectibles. We even do currency exchange. There's all kinds of stuff like that that we do engage in. Our specialty is building portfolios, helping people to preserve their capital in a conservative biblical fashion. We sell everything at wholesale to the public. So if you buy something from us, it's absolutely what it's worth. There's no games. There's no retail markups. There's none of this. There are companies out there in the coin business that do that pretty severely. They overcharge drastically. People that buy stuff like on the shopping channel. I mean, it always blows my mind if someone walks in here with this big package of stuff, we'll call it, that they picked up off like the TV shopping channel, and they're just sure that somehow they've made such a good buy that they're going to make a huge profit. They obviously don't know the kind of money those companies spend to be on the TV, for starters. And the fact that the commissions are, you know, huge. I mean, it's basically a lack of business knowledge. When you get to home shopping network levels, folks, there is pieces of the pie flying every direction. Everything you see on there has to be, at the very least, tripled in price, tripled to quadruple. What happens is they start out with the cost of a product. The station gets price per minute, which ends up being usually at least the full price of the product. In other words, if a product's worth cost them $10, for every one they sell, the station gets $10. And then the vendor, there'll be a middleman vendor that gets $10, and then of course the manufacturer that makes it gets $10. Things that you buy on Home Shopping Network might be beautiful. They might be made in volume. They might be a good value when they're creating them, but they're not a good value by the time you buy them. They might have neat stuff. You might want it as a novelty. You might see clothes you like. Great. But do not buy into this. You're getting a special deal now, and the clock is ticking, and you better hurry and jump in, because if you don't, you're going to miss out. Folks, don't buy into that. There is nothing spiritual about high pressure salesmanship. When people are convincing you to do something that you know better than, or something you wouldn't normally be dealing with in the first place, and it's high pressure, do it now, no time to think. That's just, like I said, there's no solace, there's no peace. There's, you know, you need to have a contentment to these kinds of decisions. Much like what we do, I mean, we will, and we recommend people have thought things out thoroughly before they, you know, do what we recommend. The nice thing about what we do, folks, there's nothing like what we do as far as liquidity. I mean, if you walked in and spent 10 grand today, And walked out the door, and 2 weeks from now, everything was the same, and you decided to get rid of it, it's going to cost you a few percent at the most. There's nothing else like that. You know, you spend $100 and it costs you $2 or $3. I mean, there's nothing like that. And it's liquid. It's absolutely immediately liquid. And you're buying money. You're putting your hard-earned work energy, technically, because that's all a fiat currency note is you're storing your work energy, but you're having a private corporation do it for you. You're saying, you know, Mr. Private Corporation, will you store my work energy and give me a piece of paper that says that my work energy is stored over there? Okay. The difference between that and gold and silver based products, there's work energy in the item. And there's intrinsic value. There's work energy in digging it out of the earth. So the item, precious metals, in and of themselves, harbor the work energy. It's the way God made it. There's a limited volume of it. You know, there's a limited quantity. It's a non-perishable commodity. It's been around since the beginning of the Bible. Like I said, I'm blown away when I realize that God used chapter one of Genesis to create everything to recreate the world. I should say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says now the earth was without form and void, tohu bohu, which means destroyed, catastrophic, chaotic, absolutely messed up. And the question I ask people, I believe that the earth was here before and it was in a state of chaos, and then God began to recreate for the earth today. People say, no, that's the way he made it. I'm not sure God's creation before Adam and Eve would be chaotic and catastrophic and devastated. So I'm just not sure how all that works for sure. But I do know that if you read the Bible for exactly what it says, in the beginning he created everything, and then we move forward and start the days, you still get the 6 days, 7 days of creation, but it's a lot more consistent with the Bible. The 6,000-year-old earth theory has its challenges. I mean, if it's true, great, but otherwise, you know, I'm pretty familiar with the geology of it. I'm not as familiar as some, but I mean, it's pretty cool when you get down to the great nonconformity on the earth, which is basically red marble or red granite underneath all this dirt and debris that's been pushed all over the earth by the great flood. There is a red granite marble. I can't even imagine what the history of this planet was. Perhaps it was a red granite planet, and then maybe over time the elements wore and got dust and dirt and off of that, and then eventually, who knows, meteorites hit. I don't know. I do know God is completely in control. There's absolutely no doubt he created everything that we see around us today. It happened fast. It happened deliberately in a seven-day cycle. There's no doubt. I mean, the extent of the creation that we're immersed in, folks, beyond anything you could ever comprehend. That's the only time I give people a buy on struggling with faith. Is if they say, you know, if the brevity of it all just blows them away. They're like, how could any one being comprehend all this? How could any one being be in control of all this? Every cell, every molecule, every single human. I mean, you think of just the souls that have come and gone from this earth. We're hypothetically nearing, I think, about 8 billion people on this earth. By the flood, if you do a mortality study, by the great flood, people don't think about the fact. It's easy to do a reasonable mortality showing 12 billion people on the earth at the time. That's billion with a B. People lived 700 to 900 years, average of 8. If you figure they had 2 children even every 50 years, that every couple would have 2 children, and then 50 years later they'd have 2 and they'd have 2, you end up, and then you kick in the mortality around the average lifespan. Even if you cut it in half, you still end up at 12 billion. There's something weird about the great flood. The Antiquities of the Jews, written by Flavius Josephus, describes some pretty neat things as far as further detail of the great flood when Noah's Ark had 700,000 people around it, and God used the animals that didn't go on the Ark to push the people away when they tried to storm the Ark. He's got a lot of cool stories. You might go, who's Flavius Josephus? When the Romans captured Jerusalem in 70 AD, one thing they did used to do is capture historians to write the history of the people they just destroyed. Kind of a neat concept. Flavius Josephus was a scholar and from a very wealthy background, very respected, very knowledgeable Jewish man, incredibly good writer, which back then was rare. They took him with them back to Rome and instructed him and his family, instructed him to write the entire annals of the Jewish history because they believed that they had destroyed Israel. The only thing is, if he did it well and accurate, he got to live in plenty. If he did not do it accurate, or he changed history or was caught lying, he and his family were punished by death. Okay? So people go in. Flavius Josephus described Jesus and said this. He said, "This truly was the Messiah." Well, the God-haters go crazy about that. They go, "We don't know if he wrote that. Someone could have added that later," and blah, blah, blah. Well, first of all, the writings of Flavius Josephus go all the way back. And number two, why would he ever risk his whole life and his family to lie? He described the miracles that Jesus performed at the time. He described the history, the antiquities of the Jews, the history of the flood, the Exodus, all the things all the way back to Genesis. He described it all. He tried to capture Judaism at its core because he thought it was destroyed. The Romans told him it was obsolete. It was done. And so it was his job to preserve them in writing. And so he did a terrific job. The extent to which he went to describe events of Old Testament proportion are things that you and I would never be able to find in any of the regular scriptures. We don't even know where he got a lot of the information. But at the time, we have to assume he had the Book of Jasher still available and other things like that. But his overall description is so in-depth and so extensive and so interesting. Like I said, with Noah's Ark, he said that when Noah was building the ark, all these animals came. He said unclean animals in pairs, clean animals by sevens. And he said that some knelt outside the ark and some stood. The ones that stood were to go in the ark. The ones that knelt outside the ark were to stay. Well, they didn't know why. Well, when the floodwater started to come and people started to rush the ark, Noah gave a sermon. And he said, "Look, you've had 120 years. To repent, and you've turned your back on God, you've cursed him. Now you want God, to save you. You want to be on the ark with me." But the answer is no. You guys are going to pay for your sin. And he goes into detail about the sins that they've conducted and things like that. And then it says at that point, the water was literally up to like their armpits. I mean, it was out of control. The rain was just crashing down. And the description in there is like rain. I mean, beyond rain, like just it came pouring down. And I think the firmament above that the Bible describes it was created was shattered. And it's the change in pressure, whatever it was, started volcanoes, tectonic plate shifting, water started to come up from the earth. Can't even imagine the floods, tsunamis, and tidal waves. And, the area of the Middle East is the middle of the dry land mass of the earth. Even if you calculate Pangaea, the unwinding of a singular tectonic plate, there's Egypt, dead center. So it's been like relatively unhindered throughout all of it. Somehow someone knew that was the center of the dry land mass on earth. That's where the Great Pyramid is. You draw a line north and south, east and west through the Great Pyramid, essentially. You cut the dry land mass on earth into four perfect quadrants. There's something about that. And so that's the hub of where, the people began. That's the hub of where it all ends. Of course, Jerusalem is where Jacob's ladder was, where Jacob saw angels ascending and descending from the heavens. And God said, "This truly is holy ground. I shall never take my eyes from this place." That's why the Jews go to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, to put their prayers up, because God said he'll never look away from that place on earth. When I went there, I felt something crazy. They even have what's called Jerusalem syndrome. I don't know how many people are familiar with that, but it's a documented ailment. There's two hospitals in Jerusalem dedicated to it. People that will show up in Israel, the closer they get to the Western Wall, which is the Dome of the Rock, hypothetically, the more they will become, they begin to manifest a completely different personality of somebody from the far distant past. It isn't always a famous biblical figure. It's often, most often, somebody that no one even knows who they are from a far bygone era, thousands of years ago, often around the time of Christ, mostly. And they go to the hospital, they treat them, and then they ship them home. And the further they get away from it, the more it goes away. It's very real. It's very documented, true. It's not a wives' tale. Because I believe there's an actual spiritual portal that goes into Jerusalem where the angels ascend and descend. I literally felt it, personally. I didn't know that until after we left, but I felt that it was like electricity in the air. There was a level of energy that was indescribable. Very possibly a very healthy place on earth as well. I don't know. Of course, the Muslims are there fighting over it all the time. Etc., etc., etc. So, let's talk about this wonderful world we live in. What's going on? Harvard media study comes out today showing the bias of media, shocker, but Harvard's a lefty, you know, they're a left-wing college. So the fact that they would even release this is interesting. They show the percentage of news reports with positive or negative tones towards Trump and the Trump administration. CNN is the worst. 93, I take it back. There's some European news outlet that's worse, ARD or something, 98%. CNN, 93% negative, 3% or 7% positive. NBC, 93 negative, 7 positive. CBS, 91 negative, 9 positive. New York Times, 87 negative, 13%. And Washington Post, 83-17. Wall Street Journal, 70-30. That's getting better. Fox News, 52 negative, 48 positive. That sounds pretty balanced to me. I think they must actually legitimately maybe go by their name of the fair and balanced news source. There's Financial Times and the BBC are still pretty bad. So basically, this study shows that there is absolutely no question of media bias. Now, you might say, duh, you know, but folks, this is a problem, okay? Think of this. The First Amendment of the United States, the First Amendment of the Constitution, is the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press. Okay? This is a big stinking deal. Then you go to the 10 planks of communism, where he says to basically take over all forms of communication. Centralization of the means of communication, and he puts and transportation. So basically, communication, transportation, that's where you get checkpoints, that's where you get the TSA at the airport, but that's where you get all the information that's being disseminated to you is now being disseminated with a funk, with a huge bias from the left-wing media, from a socialistic perspective. When you go to, like this week, Denis Kucinich is, I think he's a Democratic congressman. He comes out this week and basically says, quote, "The deep state is trying to take down Trump. Our country is under attack from within." From the time I was young, I remember being told when I was all Mr. Young and excited about politics, I didn't understand the whole big picture, but I remember being told, this country won't ever be taken from the outside. It's gonna be taken over from the inside first by them communists. I remember hearing that when I was a young pup. It's going to be them communists. And I thought, good luck with that. Yeah, right. No, it is true. So I'm like, okay. And I did a paper back in college on when I was studying economics, on the decline of the United States financial system and its fiat currency system. I'd forgotten all about this till a few years ago. Because what I wrote back then was I mapped out the next 30 years, which guess where we are now, right about now. I mapped out the next 30 years of financial distress and mayhem that was coming to this nation. Full-blown bankruptcy, absolute reckless bankruptcy. And the theory of my paper, my thesis was, everybody said, this is where we're going, and it's going to be a train wreck with all of our borrowing and excessive spending. Now, by the way, I don't believe they estimated we'd be as high as we are in debt now. But the fact of the matter, my theory was that we were smarter than this, that our politicians wouldn't allow it, that we'd make changes. I said the big flaw with their argument was that they assumed that we would continue down a path and make no adjustments and no changes. I had far too much faith in the people and the system. Today we're there. Now, why are we not explosively bankrupt? The reason is because we've pulled in the globe. We've spread our debt problem globally. We've got absolute trade imbalances, which puts countries in positions to kind of lay back and leave us alone for a while. But overall, the debt content of this nation, individually, personally, corporately, and federally, is absolutely over the top. I've talked recently about the $1.7 million just in debt and deficit from the feds that hang on the back of each and every taxpayer. $1.7 million in debt. You and whoever's listening, you have $1.7 million in debt. That doesn't count your own personal debt. That's just for the government spending. And it is rising rapidly, folks. Rapidly, rapidly, rapidly. Is that not a problem? Are we not bothered by that? Do we truly believe that that can continue on indefinitely without any consequence? Do we believe that there is a way that we're going to catch up and pay it off? Well, the government doesn't have any system at all. They have no plans, no strategies. The problem is in Congress and Senate, all these guys have limited terms. Now, term limits are great on one hand, but on the other hand, people do nutty things to get reelected, and it's a tricky system. It really is a tricky system. We've probably given too much authority to some of these people. And when Congress was given the authority over the purse to control our spending, they were never expected to be so frivolously wasteful or so mindless and careless. They were expected to be stewards of what was given them. They were expected to stay within the constitutional boundaries of authority. Now, granted, over time, I know there's just some constitutional purists, and they say, well, the government, shouldn't be involved in this and shouldn't be involved in that. 96%, 97% of the time, they're right. There are items, there are programs that I think, as the Constitution says, they do provide for the general welfare of the citizens of this country. That's the government's job, to provide for the general welfare, to make sure everybody's okay and things are okay. Health insurance has become a big concern because the cost is so unbearable. But that, folks, that rests on the back of these big pharmaceutical companies. And the reason for that is the fact that they have so much money and so much lobby power, it's unbelievable. If you go back to the time when Bill Clinton attacked Microsoft in the 90s, Bill Clinton, the government, went to Microsoft and said, we need a portal into your Microsoft Windows so that we can spy on anybody at any time. Microsoft said, no, we're not going to violate our patrons' privacy that way. The government raised the ante, put the pressure on. When they continued to refuse, here comes the Clintons. Attack, attack, attack. They vilify Bill Gates as this totally non-philanthropic, ungiving, self-centered nerd, on and on and on. And they begin to character assassinate the heck out of this guy. Why? Because he would not violate people's personal civil liberties. But what happened at that time was Microsoft had never spent a penny on lobbyists. So when they were in big trouble, and I actually got this story from a Microsoft insider, from a friend who was on the inside of the PR team of Microsoft years back. So I know how specific and right it is. So they had never spent a penny on lobby. Now, well, I'll put it this way. As of a decade ago, Microsoft was spending about $240 million a year on lobbyists. And the reason being, when they need favors, they hire all these people. And then when they need a favor, they make that call and the strings get pulled. Was our system ever designed to work that way? People attack the people that do it. Man in general is going to find ways to make things work. You can call it good, you can call it bad. It's our nature. It says it's God's nature to hide a thing, to conceal a thing, and man's nature to find it out. We're going to figure stuff out. We're going to solve problems. It's what we do. You cannot judge man for the desire to find a way to make things work. You need to put blocks and barriers on where they can draw the lines. Many people live with an ethical belief that if it is legal, it's right or morally ethical. That is wrong. Legality of something has nothing to do with its ethics. I am forever dealing with these types of situations where people will do things that are dishonest and unethical. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, whatever. And they'll literally hide behind the fact that it's legally acceptable. There is no law about lying to your neighbor. There's laws about lying to police officers, but what's odd about that is it's okay for them to lie to you. We've got some pretty twisted up stuff. And we've got the deep state. We really, really do have the deep state coming after our own president. So how do we end up in this situation? Folks, we have got an inbred version of socialism mixed with capitalism that is absolutely like nothing anyone could ever imagine, okay? The main issue is that we have given the power, okay, the authority to agencies that have no accountability now. And basically what I mean by that is this. The TSA, the NSA, and the HSA, they all end in security administration. We created these entities with no final authority. The president doesn't have authority over them. And what's worse is when he tries to exercise his rightful authority as president of the United States, the media just destroys him like we were just reading with the bias. But when it comes to like the NSA, that's the National Security Administration. These are the people that spy on you all the time. They keep records of every conversation. They track all the time where your vehicle's been. They literally track every plane ticket you buy, every purchase on your credit card, every check that goes through the bank, hypothetically. I mean, they're not watching each one individually moment by moment, but they have it all stored. So if they need it, they can find it. They also have you tracked. They have old satellite footage. They have things you don't even want to know. They have drones that are unbelievable, cricket drones, that they can fly into a house, set up on the beam up above, and transmit video and audio for miles and miles away. So they can sneak into your house. They have mosquito drones that can crawl under doors. This is real. This is not me making this up. This is the deep state. Where do you think the undocumented trillions of dollars goes? Think of this. The day before 9/11, September 10th of 2001. Now, the next day, September 11th, was going to be the greatest disaster in the history of America. the day before Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of the Department of Defense calls for an emergency meeting of Congress to tell them that they are missing $2.3 trillion that is unaccounted for. They cannot explain what happened to it, but he assured us he will begin looking. Well, the places that he was to look were twofold. One was the Pentagon. And it happened to be that all those documents had been recently moved to the recently remodeled section of the Pentagon where the plane supposedly hit. First of all, there's no way it was a plane, it was a missile. All you have to do is go look at the size of the hole in the building, how far it penetrated the building, the lack of marks from wings, the fact that that plane could never get low enough to puncture a hole at that level, physically impossible. The plane's far too big. You lose airfoil. You lose updraft when you get that low. Nobody could have pulled that maneuver off. There's many witnesses that say they saw a rocket come over their head. You get my point. So this area where area number one, where the documentation that needed reviewed should be, had been recently moved into this newly remodeled section of the Pentagon where no people were. And of course, it's conveniently destroyed. The second location that all of this information was to be located for an investigation on the Department of Defense income loss, as well as an extensive investigation by the FBI and IRS of all of these major corporations cooking the books just like Enron did. IRS agents say that they were investigating over 100 Fortune 500 companies for cooking the books. They were cooking the books to show artificially high profit levels to sustain the shareholders and to keep the venture capital coming in. Those were stored in World Trade Center Building Number 7. After Trade 1 and 2 went down, they had a meeting. The top upper level of World Trade Center 7 was one of the most secure physical locations on Earth. Absolute bomb-resistive walls, bullet-resistive glass, military-grade bullet-resistive, you know, not even bullet-resistive. I mean, this stuff was like a foot thick of glass, full of lead and everything else. The walls, you know, the elevators to get there, the level of security was just unmatched. So that building goes down, whatever it was, 8 or 10 hours later without sustaining any damage. Even Rudy Giuliani was walking out. The media saw him and he said, we had to leave the building because they're going to pull it. Well, later they said, what do you mean by pull it? It blew up. He goes, well, when they say we're going to pull a building, that's a demolition expert's inside phraseology for to demolish it professionally. Later on, Rudy Giuliani said, what I meant was they're going to pull the firemen out. Well, there were no firemen in the building, so you get the picture. Government covers its own tracks. Deep state is real. A lot of this was formed by what's called People for a New American Century. The People for a New American Century were a group of already highly influential politicians. Okay, like, you know, the Bushes, the Rumsfelds, the Cheneys. And what they said they wanted as part of their organization, they wanted to increase surveillance and security control, martial law on the United States citizenry. They said that in order to achieve that, we had to have a modern-day Pearl Harbor-style event for them to implement all this. 9/11 fit the bill perfect. I'm not saying planes didn't hit the buildings, but I can tell you, if you look at the video of the underbelly of the undercarriage of these planes, they were not passenger planes. The colors weren't right. There's all kinds of stuff. There was a switch off, and I believe they copied a program or copied a mission, I guess you'd call it, from the 60s called Mission Northport or something like that, North Point, where they were going to artificially shoot down a plane and blame it on the Cubans. And what they did is they had a plane full of kids on spring break. They landed the plane, emptied the plane, got the kids off, put them on another plane, and then continued that plane forward with the same flight number on it. Somehow, I think it was Kennedy pulled the plug on the project because he just felt guilty, thought it was deceptive. And that would have been so easy on this whole situation that people don't know the number of the flight they're on. They can read the marquee, but the number of a flight's not on the side of a plane. It's super easy for airlines to change a flight number. And so that's very likely how some of those planes went unaccounted for. There's a lot more detail than that. Trust me, it goes so deep. It gets to a point that you cannot logically or rationally say something very, very fishy was going on. And I didn't really intend to cover that today, but I'm telling you how real it is and how real it can be. We've got ever since President Trump fired James Comey, you know, the fists are flying, the spit's flying. Now they got an independent counsel coming in. I mean, that's got its advantages and its disadvantages because it basically portrays the illusion of guilt or of a legitimate awaiting indictment. And this, my friends, is not the case. In Trump's situation. So when Kucinich talks about the real deep state politics, he's risking it all by saying it. To be completely honest with you, he was interviewing with Sean Hannity, and Dennis Kucinich, I apologize, is a Democrat from Ohio. He said the deep state within the bureaucracy is trying to destroy Donald Trump's presidency. And he went on to say the political process, the United States of America being under attack by intelligence agencies and individuals in those agencies. He said Americans must put their party politics aside and acknowledge that the federal government is under attack from within. Whether you like Trump or not, people have got to have the common sense to fear a tyrannical government. That is, in and of itself, what our founding fathers came here for. The left will rip me apart for this. The left will rip you apart for this. Where is the rationale? Do they have this idea that no matter how big this government gets and how authoritarian and how dictatorial or how powerful, that they're always going to have your and my best needs in mind, best interests? And if you've spent much time around the government, in general, they're not hiring America's best. They're providing a really solid job. We used to call government employees in the bank a life support system for a paycheck, because once you get on, you really can't get off. I mean, you can't lose your job. If you're not an elected professional, I mean, I even saw as a banker, people literally go out and get multiple DUIs and multiple felonies and still not lose their job with the government because they said that those crimes do not affect their ability to perform their job, their duty, their function. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're not. But to me, character and integrity is a universal standard. It's a static standard that just cannot be negotiated away. So Kucinich goes on. He says, we have to put party politics aside. He says, you have politicization of agencies that is resulting in leaks from anonymous, unknown people, and the intention is to take down the president. He said, now this is very dangerous to America. It's a threat to our republic. It constitutes a clear and present danger to our way of life. We have got to be asking ourselves, what is the motive of these people? Who's putting out all these leaks? Why doesn't somebody come forward and make a charge and put their name and reputation behind it? Instead of attacking through the media and not substantiating their position, he says. Folks, our first allegiance is to the United States of America, especially as politicians and government servants. Government employees are civil servants. We've lost touch with all that. We've seen this week the absurdity of the white female cop killing an unarmed black man who was, by all practical purposes, obeying her commands because she came up with this fantasy in her head that he looked at her and looked away, and she said that was targeting. He was figuring out my last known location so he could reach in his car and pull out a gun and shoot me. And she came up with this paranoid schizophrenia, and she gets off. So the blacks, again, are protesting, and in that case, they're rightfully so. And you know, folks, I'm going to go as far as to say it does, skin color does affect it. I'm going to also say that I believe that I don't care. I believe, like I was talking with a friend, I said at this point, people have to have more faith in the jury system. They're acting like we're back in the 1800s, you know, with these runaway juries hanging black people from trees. That is not the case. I do believe people are working with all their might to be as unbiased as possible. Facts are facts. The problem is police are trained to cover their tail. They're trained to always say the same thing, to say they did the same thing. They've got the whole system behind them. And that's got to be, it's a very unfair advantage. It's very difficult for the defendant or plaintiff, depending on the situation. But it's just darn difficult for somebody to receive proper, you know, attention in that situation. Now, do not think that I don't appreciate police officers or law enforcement at all. Absolutely. It'd be idiocy not to. I just believe that I believe that we've lost our way a little. I think that, you know, we used to have this term to serve and protect. The, you know, municipal police, state police, there are guardians. Their job is to watch out for us, to protect us from ourselves, from assailants. They are not warriors. They are not gladiators. And the media, clear back when that show Cops started, and it just kind of amped up and amped up and amped up. And I thought, well, this is going to be really bad for police. They're going to start to behave better. No, they started to become even more dramatic, more melodramatic, more harsh, more violent, more aggressive. And here we are today with police that are trained that you are the enemy. You talk to a cop and they say, we put our lives on the line every day. Yes, you do. But you knew when you took the job you'd be doing that. And the other thing, when this gal shot this black guy, she said, well, I was in fear for my life. Well, that for a police officer is not enough for me, because to be a police officer, do you really become a cop and think you're not going to ever be in fear for your life? You might, but that's foolish. Cops run to conflict. Cops run to crime. They run to problems. Now, as an individual, that's the best skill set you could ever develop. And I hope for their sake they learn to apply that same philosophy to their life. But they put no emphasis on the art of diplomacy. They put no emphasis whatsoever on discernment. They put no emphasis on using common sense in most cases to evaluate and diffuse situations. So many situations can be diffused. I mean, the truth is, this lady thought this black guy was going to reach in the car and pull out a gun. And in her imagination, he already had the gun on the seat. So keep a bead on the guy. If he does, I mean, let's be honest. If he pulls something out, you've got the bead. I mean, the guy's standing in his car. You've got a gun pointed at him from a 45 behind, 45 degree from the back. That's simple. There's so many situations where cops can use other forms of other less lethal forms. It comes down all the way down to the killing of Dean Bellamy here in Spokane. He'd been falsely accused of domestic abuse because he'd gotten involved with a woman who was a wreck. And, you know, and then he sued Ozzie Knezovich for false charges on that. And then she came and went and saw him and did it again. And if you think I don't know what I'm talking about, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I know the inside scoop pretty well. That she'd been in and out of our shop within days of this. And I meant to call him and didn't. So she did it again. That's how she controlled him. And then Ozzie shows up with a SWAT team. And their first leadoff is he said, I'm not coming out. I'm not going to jail again. I'm innocent. There's nothing going on. So they put a negotiator on the phone. And while he's visible in a picture window, they put a hole through his shoulder. And then their comment was that they used a less lethal round. I mean, seriously? I think you guys get the point, don't you? I am very strongly concerned about the onslaught of what we're referring to as the deep state here today. I just believe in it. I think it's perfectly executed according to Communist Manifesto, according to Saul Alinsky, Cloward and Piven, Fabianism. This is all what they're supposed to be. This is what we want. Not me, but you know, the deep state. The deep state is these agencies are given power without accountability, with no balance, checks and balances. You get someone naive like Bush who hands this kind of authority to an agency. You know, they can illegally detain people without reading them their Miranda rights. You know, that's the NDAA. I mean, folks, if this does not alarm you, nothing will. Because what happens when, just as in history repeats itself, the Christians become the criminals? People hate God. They hate faith. There's a large conglomerate of people out there. They hate God. They're motivated and driven by the devil. What happens when they do that? I mean, when they decide they hate God, they want to destroy every remnant of him, they come after Christians. Well, what's wrong with that, too? Another thing to think about, you know, this weekend or maybe last weekend, I was in another town and I went to a church that had a worship service style that was different than what I was used to. Very, very charismatic, a lot of crazy stuff going on, and just heavy, heavy faith. Faith, faith, faith. You tell God what to do. God wants everything in your life to be perfect. He wants you. Now, this is not my words. This is what I heard. This is what some of the charismatics get into. Name it and claim it. God, you deserve to be completely healthy all the time. You deserve to be wealthy. You deserve to be wise. All these things now is what God wants you to have, and the devil doesn't. And you need to name them and claim them and tell him that you're laying claim to you, his promises of this and to that and this. Folks, if that was the truth, we would cure everything. No one in that room, no one in that sanctuary would have a need. However, the churches that believe that way don't have any, you know, variety of other. And the fact of it is that God wants us, you know, I heard this guy say, this guest preacher said, you know, some people say that God will give us an ailment to teach us a lesson. And he said, well, if I gave my son a sickness to teach him a lesson, it'd be considered child abuse. Well, that's true. But you're not God. And it doesn't always mean a sickness. There's all kinds of challenges. That's when we get refined. That's when we get stronger. That's when we get better. That's when we get wiser. When we're under pressure. A couple other things just to pop on that are kind of random. This is the state of the United States. The president of Turkey, Erdogan or whatever it is, his security detail, his bodyguards, severely beat U.S. protesters up on the lawn of, you know, the Capitol in D.C. So we have U.S. protesters protesting possibly something to do with Turkey. The Turkish president tells his men to beat them, and they do. And they beat him good. They kick him in the head, the face, bad. You can watch the video. Local D.C. police, guess what they did? Nothing. Now, you can say, well, they're diplomats, and they, you know, they can't be charged with a crime and all this stuff. Malarkey. There's a problem there. Our people did nothing. maybe because they didn't want an international event. But this is the same people that will shoot, you know, an unarmed black guy. Another quick note, in the city, you've probably watched the ex-military kid who had gotten mugged by a black man, hit in the back of the head, knocked out with a pipe, I believe, woke up, the guy's walking away. The guy who mugged him, he pulled out his gun and shot and killed the guy. He was found not guilty. So guess what? You know, Black Lives Matter, riots and all this, but the jury found him not guilty. Why? The guy had mugged him, beat him, knocked him down, and there's a psychology that shows after something traumatic like this happens to you, you just think it's coming again. You don't even know what to do. But it doesn't matter. Is it okay to go around and knock people in the head with a lead pipe, knock them out cold, leave them on the concrete to die, and then if they shoot you when they wake up, they're bad and you're good, and you're all of a sudden you're a victim? Yeah. Like I said, we're seeing it all, aren't we? So I think you kind of, like I said, are kind of, you can see where I'm coming from. This Russian probe stuff, folks, the new foul word in our language is Russia. There's a democratic narrative. You know, it's political schizophrenia. And what this Russia thing is a democratic narrative for losing an election because they can't accept it, but it's tearing America apart and the citizenry are completely mindless fools. We're unable to think, they're unable to think for themselves and so on. They want a special prosecutor for everything. Absolutely everything. They want a special prosecutor. They want to make it look like there's collusion. Trump's accomplishing a lot. Folks, Trump is in a weird spot because he's got a terrible, terrible talent for articulation. He needs to let people write his speeches for him, but he seems to refuse. You know, it says here, anyway, I won't get more into the deep state stuff. You guys get it, okay? This is real. This is happening. These deep state agencies are trying to take out the President of the United States. These agencies do not have any accountability. This is what happened in Russia. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. And then what they do is they spin the focus and they go, look at Russia, look at Russia, look at Russia. They're the bad guy. They're the bad guy. Don't look at home. Don't look at what we're doing. You get these blind masses that sit around and say our government can never be that bad. Folks, I believe we had, I mean, I know I sound half nuts, but I'm telling you, so many of the events that happened before your eyes, starting with the, not starting with, but 9/11, including the 08 financial crisis, these are all precursor, they're trial runs. They're getting huge control advances with each and every one of these scenarios. They gain authority over us. More and more and more martial law, more and more freedom. You know, your bank account, nothing is private. Cash, I mean, they've got to the point where 10,000 cash unreported, you can go to jail. I mean, that law was made in 1934 under the RICO Act when they made the comment, if any man has enough money to buy a palatial estate, the government has a right to know, which they didn't. But the point is, at that time, it was like $750,000 or some ridiculous amount of money like that. But that still doesn't make it okay because everything is progressive. The Communist Manifesto says a progressive income tax, progressive control, seizure of assets, a progressive loss of civil rights, just this progressive migration jeopardizing your rights, confiscation, Communist Manifesto or Planks of Communism number 4, confiscation of the property of all immigrants and rebels. You have too much cash in your car, you get pulled over, cop says you got any cash on board, you go 20 grand, they say what it's for, you go I'm going to buy a car, the cop says I don't feel comfortable with that, I'm seizing it, I think it's drug money. They last year alone in the United States, they seized something like $1.9 billion. in civil asset forfeiture. Little of that ever goes back to the person because it's so darn difficult to fight. Because the defendant in that case becomes the money or the asset. Well, how does money defend itself? You know, it's tough. And I personally went through it one time. They never confiscated, but I got roughed up a little. I had a substantial amount of money. I was going to a huge international show in Miami, and we had a substantial amount of money we traveled with, and they had the DEA meet us at the other end. I mean, I've seen a lot of this stuff, folks. So anyway, simple as that. As I say, it's Friday. As I always say, folks, you know, the conclusion of this really is preserve and protect yourself in a biblical way. As they gain more and more control, you know, what a easy way to, you know, get everybody's money in the system, collapse it, and it's all artificially pumped up now, collapse the system, and, you know, then the government, then everyone looks to the government to take care of them. Get yourself financially secure so the government can't do that stuff. Get off the grid. Get precious metals-based assets, 444-0044, toll-free 877, tap coin 877-827-2646 or through the website at coinsplus.com. Do it. Get yourself secured. Get yourself safe. There's no risk. There's no complexity. It's the simplest thing you're ever going to do with your money. We will put it away for you, and we have one of the highest privately held depository services in the Western United States. We will literally secure it, help you secure it well, put it in an asset that will grow and protect yourself and your family and be prepared for hard times. And, you know, there's nothing to lose. Why in the world would you not just do what God said financially? Simple as that. So give God, how about that? Give God a call. Give Coins Plus a call, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through the website at coinsplus.com. If you happen to have his phone number, you can give God a call, and I believe he'll also tell you to do the same thing with your finances. Thanks for tuning in again. Have a terrific weekend. Take care. God bless, and we'll be back Monday. Bye-bye.